before your throne boldly today, Lord, and we ask you that you would pour out upon us your Spirit, Lord, to help us to fulfill the Great Commission. Lord, we have been blessed with grace upon grace through Jesus Christ. Lord, we have been saved not to sit but to serve. We've been delivered to become deliverers to others. My God, I pray that our mentalities would shift if necessary, that we would turn if necessary, that we would change our minds if necessary to get focused onto the main thing that you have done in our lives. That is, you've saved us, and Lord God, you want to save many other people. And you want to use us as vessels, oh God. Lord, I pray that we would shift. It's August, this holiday season. But Lord God, we pray that in this season, we would be prepared to preach your gospel. It says in season and out season in your word, oh God. Every season is the season to reach out for souls. Help us, Holy Spirit, would you move in this place today. Confirm your word. In the name of Jesus. Lord, give us souls. Give us souls. In this holiday season, let's take a break from having our own needs met for a minute. We've got needs, they're legitimate, but God, if we're saved, then we have no needs. Because you supply every need that we have. But God, let us focus on the lost. They need you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. As you take your seats, please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. It's family month here in Victory Outreach Manchester, and I was going to preach, maybe in a couple of weeks' time I'll preach the message that is a nice, you know, message about how we grow and how we can be blessed and how we can flourish. But the Lord kind of shifted me. You know, we've got an outreach next week. We've got Barry Woodward coming, and he's a very well-recognized evangelist. He has the anointing and the gifting of an evangelist. He's from Salford. He was born and raised in these streets, in this area. He was a heroin addict, a jailbird. And now he's a reverend, a minister, an internationally recognized speaker. He's an author. He's authored the book Once an Addict. That I think there were, I forget, there was one point there were 50,000 of them that were actually given away to prisoners in jails in England. That prisoners, people have been getting set free. And it's not just for people that have come from that background. Don't get me wrong. But he is anointed and gifted to see souls saved. And I don't know about you, but you know, if you know someone, how many of you know someone that needs to get saved? It might be a son, it might be a wife, it might be a husband or a brother or a daughter or a father or a mother or a neighbor, an uncle, an aunt, a nephew. It might be the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the person in Asda, the person in the garage. It might be someone that you know. It might be an enemy. How many of you ever thought about taking an enemy to church? Amen. You know, taking an enemy to church and getting them saved is the best way of getting rid of an enemy, and it doesn't end up in a long prison sentence. Amen. Hallelujah. The best way to get rid of an enemy is get them saved, then they'll become your friend. Glory to God. There's a thought, huh? Get an enemy to church and get them saved. Praise God. But get someone. How many of you are going to bring someone next week? Let me see your hands. You're going to bring someone. You're going to bring someone. How many of you are not going to bring someone? No one puts their hands up for that. Amen. Try and bring someone that is lost. Don't just bring them for, you know, an experience. Bring them for salvation. Amen. That's why we're doing it. We want to see souls saved. You know, there were statistics. I can't find out where the statistics came from, but I read this the other day in a post that they've done some studies, and 98% of Christians haven't invited one person to church in the past year. Check that out. Only 2% of Christians actually invite people to church. That's crazy, man. So if you've invited someone to church and you've actually gone and got them and brought them, then you're in the minority amongst Christians. How sad is that? When there are so many different people that are messed up out there in the world that don't know Jesus. I have a real heart for evangelism. Before I became the pastor here at Victory Outreach Manchester, me and my wife, we were there. We were on the pastoral staff in the Victory Outreach Church in London. And I was an evangelist. I used to go out, take teams, take them all over the world, take them to different cities, different nations, different countries, and go and do the work of an evangelist. I was in the prisons. I've preached to politicians. I've preached to prisoners, police chiefs, policemen, different countries, different nations, different backgrounds. And I used to have this real passion to go and do it. And there was the anointing that used to flow. And I thought that I was going to be an evangelist. So when they said to me, come and take the church in Manchester, you know, I was like, number one, what do I want to go to Manchester for? Amen. I had this thought that it was all chips and pies and gravy and flat caps, whippets and outside toilets. Amen. And then we got to Oddsall and found out that wasn't far from the truth. But I didn't really want to be a pastor. I wanted to be an evangelist. I didn't want to get stuck in one place preaching to the saved. I wanted to get out there where it was dark and dirty. I wanted to get out there where people were spitting and scratching and sweating and sniffing and looking at me, you know, wanting to fight me and do all that stuff. I wanted to go there and I wanted to preach the gospel and I wanted to see those hardened people turned and changed like I'd seen so many hundreds and thousands of times before. That was my heart. And I'll be honest with you, I've since become more pastoral, but it's still at the root of my very being is seeing souls saved. I want to see souls saved. I've preached in prisons. I've seen prisoners saved. I've even had prison officers give their life to Jesus. Amen. We've made an altar call. Even the prison officers have got up and then they've kind of remembered where they were and kind of sat back down quick. But people get saved. And what I've come to understand is that there are some people that operate in that office. They are evangelists. That's what they do. They draw a crowd. They preach the gospel. They can preach it in such a simple way or even in a language that no one understands. Sometimes they just, you're like, I've heard preachers before. I'm not going to name them. You can't even understand what they're saying. And you're there. You're kind of biting your hand going, oh, no. Oh, I'm really sorry for all the people. And then they get up, they make an altar call, and thousands of people come to the altar crying and weeping and broken, torn up, and their lives change forever because that's the anointing that they carry. And some people operate in that gift. Some people operate in the prophetic gift, and they prophesy, and they prophesy the words of God. Some people have got the pastoral gift. They just, you know, when you get around them, you just feel cared for, right? They're like, you know, made of sponge or something. You just get around them and you just lean into them and they care for you. Amen. Some people have a teaching gift. They can take a simple subject and break it down and you're like, my goodness, I never knew you could get so much out of so little and have a teaching gift. Amen. But I've also come to understand that you don't have to be an evangelist to do the work of an evangelist. You don't have to have that office gift, that particular calling or anointing to be able to go out and reach out to souls. In fact, God expects every single one of his children to go out and to reach out to other people. That's you and that's me. He expects it. And what he's looking for, he's just looking for people that are available. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 1, we see the coming of the eternal Word of God, the Logos. Jesus is the Word of God. He came, everything was created through him. Amen. He is life. There's no darkness in him. He is light. Amen. There's no darkness. And then it gets down to verse 6. I want to read from verse 6. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I want to stop there for a minute. I'm going to read on in a minute, but I want you to notice something. The Bible says that there was a man by the name of John. There was a man. Sometimes we think that if God's to use us, that it should say in our minds, there was a Superman. Right? There was a pastor. There was an evangelist. There was an anointed man. There was a Superman. There was a special man. There was an unusually gifted man. There was a man that was better than any other man. But it don't say that. It doesn't say. There is no prefix to this. It just says there was a man. You know what that shows me? That shows me that any one of us can do this. Any one of us can be used by God to see his gospel spread. Any one of us. Amen. Any single one of us. Turn around, look at someone, say, it could be you. Come on, look them in the eyes and tell them, it could be you. Come on, be intentional about it. Could be you. Be bold about it. It could be you. Come on, do it. Speak it. Look at someone, a stranger. It could be you. Why am I doing that? It's not just to bug you. It's not just to liven you up. How difficult is it, even in this context, in the context of church where you're safe, how difficult is it sometimes to turn around and say something to a random person? Amen? For some people, it's like you're sitting next to the person, you've been worshipping together, you know that they're wearing Lynx Africa because they had their hands lifted up in the air. Come on now. Amen. You know they can sing or they can't sing because they've been blaring out Christ alone, cornerstone, in some less than heavenly language. Amen. You've been sitting with them, you've passed the offering basket to them, you know that they know whether you're a tapper, a tipper, or a tither. And you know what they are as well. We're here in this place. Everyone's safe. And yet when pastor says to you, turn around and tell someone, you're like, first of all, your flesh rises up. You go, who's he telling me to tell anyone? I ain't saying nothing. I ain't falling for his preaching tricks. I ain't getting involved in that hype. I'm not doing that. I'm here to serve the living God and worship him alone. I'm not going to do what he says. That's got nothing to do with the gospel. Right? So you can do that, but then also you can turn around and you can look at someone and get all shy. You don't know what to say. You get tongue-tied. Whatever it is that grips a hold of you, it's difficult, right? And this is with people that are already saved, that you already know. Amen. So sometimes what happens is we think that to actually get out and share the good news of salvation and the gospel with someone else, it's going to take a Superman. It's going to take a professional man. It's going to take the paid man. It's going to take the staff man. Come on now. It's going to take the anointed man. But God don't say that. He says simply, there was a man. His name was John. And it's describing a man. Now, yeah, we know, you know, that John was a special man, but he was a man. Amen? He was a man. He was Jesus' cousin. We know that. But he was a man. He didn't have a title. He wasn't a Pharisee. He wasn't a Sadducee. He wasn't a scribe. He wasn't anything but a man that God wanted to use that was available for God to use. Then it goes on. It says, this man came to be a witness, to bear witness of the light. So once again, we see now following on, we see that he was a man called to be a witness. Amen. He was to witness. What is a witness? How many of you have ever been in court? Come on, don't lie. Everyone's like, no comment. That's how I know you've been in court. Amen. You've been trained in the ways of these things. How many of you have been in court? No comment. Don't say nothing. I'm innocent till proven guilty. Amen. If you've been in court, you will know that at times they will bring in witnesses. What is a witness? You can't just bring in some random person off the street. Well, such and such, Bill and Ben over there have been accused of a robbery. We have witnesses, Your Honour, that say that they spoke to someone that heard that someone had seen, that they read about in the paper, that they heard on the news, that this possibly could be the man, even though they don't recognise him, never seen him before, weren't there. That's not a witness, right? That's just nonsense hearsay that would not stand up in court. A witness is someone, very simply, that has seen, heard, or experienced for themselves that thing that they're talking about. Right? So to be a witness means that you have seen, heard, or experienced what it is you're telling someone about. Amen? That also means that that's all you have to say. When the witness gets up in the box, they're not going to ask him about the intricacies of judicial procedure. They're not going to ask that person about some other matter. Amen? All the witness has to do is share what they have. Amen? For themselves. And that's what God wants to use in your life. He wants to use you to be a witness about Jesus Christ. What has he done in your life? What have you seen about him? What have you heard about him? Tell someone about that. Point them to the light. That's all you got to do. Amen. Is point someone to the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light. Come on now. You're not the Messiah. Amen. You're just a very naughty boy. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think that we're the ones, oh, how on earth is that person ever going to get saved? What can I say to that person? How can I pray for that person? How, oh, man, they're so messed up. They're like this. They won't listen. They won't believe. You do not have to save anyone. Couldn't even save yourself. Can someone say amen? All you got to do is point people to the light. All you got to do is tell someone what's happened to you. All you've got to do is tell them about who he is. Is tell them who's going to come. Is tell them who is in town. Is tell them who the Savior is. And then you let him do the saving. Come on now. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That light is Jesus Christ. That light was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, Jesus, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Now watch this. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of flesh, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, it's very simple. I've always, since the day I was saved, I've wanted to see people get saved. I've always seen that experience of salvation as the greatest thing that has ever taken place. It's tremendous to see other things take place, but salvation, when someone comes from darkness to light, that is a tremendous experience. So much so that the Bible talks about it as the angels rejoicing in heaven over souls that get saved. One soul that gets saved, in heaven there's a party. Everyone's jumping up and down. Everyone's rejoicing. There's an amazing thing. We don't put enough emphasis on it. Salvation. Sometimes we forget ourselves what it was like to be there in the darkness. We forget what it was like to be lost, to be blinded, to have our minds taken over by sin and selfishness. We forget. But do you remember the day, the time, the moment, the minute the place, the atmosphere, the situation, the circumstance you were in when all of a sudden you saw the light. I mean, if you can remember where you were at when Jesus was made real to you. Come on, let me see your hands. How many of you remember when the light shone in the darkness of your life, of your experience? And all of a sudden, you saw yourself for who you were. You saw yourself for where you were. You saw yourself for where you were going. But all of a sudden, there was a way out. There was a door. There was an opening. There was an escape. There was Jesus. What an amazing thing. And many people in the world, they have not had that experience. There are people out there right now that are doing tremendous. They're working well. They're building careers. They're building their own lives. They're doing great things. They're getting educated. There are many people that are, you know, struggling by, that are very self-disciplined. There are many people that, you know, are sober, that don't mess about, don't mess up, and they're still going to end up in hell, because they do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is the truth, church. This is how it is. And there are many, many people in churches today, especially in this backslidden nation of the United Kingdom, where sometimes people look at the wood and they don't see it for the trees. Sometimes we look at lost and broken humanity, and there we are, we're saved, we're coming to church, we're feeling good about ourselves, and we can get caught in the trap of coming to church and just ticking a box. I've been to church, hallelujah, I've done my church thing, right? We can moan about how long the pastor preached, how many times you had to stand up, sit down, how long the songs were. Ask for money again. We can moan about all that stuff. We're in the little club. We can talk to our friends in Christianese. You can put things up on Facebook that tries to make it Facebook instead of Fleshbook. You can put up scriptures. Amen. You can do certain things. But the truth is that if you're not sharing the light, come on now. The Bible says we're meant to be light carriers. We're meant to be carriers of the presence of God. It doesn't really matter what we can do for God, our prophetic words, our worship, our experiences, our prayer, our teaching, all of that stuff pales into insignificance if we're not being a part of the process of bringing souls from darkness into light. It all pales into insignificance. It becomes a club. It becomes a religion. It becomes something that has no benefit to the world whatsoever, except taking a bunch of us out of circulation for a time. A couple of hours on a Sunday, them nutty Christians can go and meet together. We don't care, because they ain't making no difference. But how many of you know that when you get that light and you see that light and you know that light, you uncap, take the lid off, take the blinkers off, take the blinders off, switch on the light. Many of us are walking about like torches that ain't been switched on. And we're stumbling about in the darkness, and we're with people that are stumbling about in the darkness, and we're a torch. And we ain't shining the light and showing the way to anyone. Because we're more afraid of the darkness and the greatness of the darkness. How am I going to be anything in this? I'm just a little torch. Imagine me having a little torch in this room at night. In this room at night, let me tell you, it gets dark. Ain't no windows. Amen. When the lights are off and it's nighttime, it's dark. Right? There's no ambient light. You're walking about, you know, you could be a bat and you'd struggle. Amen. And all you've got in this big dark room is a little torch. Let me tell you, when you turn on that little torch, it makes a big difference. Whatever it is that you have seen or heard or received personally for yourself, you might think that that's not going to make much of a difference out there in the big bad world. But let me tell you something. That little thing that you have received, that little bit of knowledge that you have got, that little bit of light that you understand about the gospel, that thing that you have experienced in your own life, it might be small in your eyes, but it's going to make a big difference when you switch it on. Yeah. Are you hearing me? John was a man. He just preached the gospel. The Bible says when people came to him and they said, who are you? Are you the prophet? Are you the Messiah? Are you the prophet? He says, no, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. Make straight paths for the Lord. All I am is an indicator. All I am is a pointer. All I am is an arrow. All I am is someone that is pointing people towards the light. There is one who's coming after me that is greater than me. His name's Jesus, the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sins of the world. Watch out for him. That's what he was saying. Amen. And there's an example to us in this. Never ever to lose sight of why we're doing what we're doing. I've been in Christian meetings. I've been in Christian conferences. They're good. They build you up. They're good. In the right context, it's all good. It's great. Worship services, concerts, prayer meetings, all of that stuff is fantastic. It's all necessary. It's all a part of things. But if the main thing, which is going out and telling people about Jesus, becomes a sub thing, becomes something else, we've lost it. Because what's the prayer for? What's the concert for? What's the worship for? What's the teaching for? What's the training for? It's to build us up. So what? So we become bigger. So we become better Christians. If it's not making us better light bringers, if it's not teaching us, see, you go to a convention, you go to a study, you go to a Bible college, you go to a teaching of that description. You're going to learn to do what? To switch on the light. Some people need to be taught how to switch on the light. Some people need to be taught how to direct the light. Are you with me? So that other people that are in darkness can get out of that darkness. And you don't have to be Superman, Superwoman, Wonder Woman. You don't have to be the Hulk. You don't have to be Captain America, Captain UK, Captain Manchester. You don't have to wear your underwear over your outerwear. You don't have to change in phone boxes. You don't have to jump off buildings, have sticky glue coming out of your hands. You don't have to wear a mask. Come on now. You don't have to be a superhero. You just need to be a man or a woman that has received the light and just says, you know what? I don't want to keep it to myself. Because you don't know the damage that you will do to the darkness in someone else's life when you just tell them about the light. You don't have to get them on a couch. They don't have to lay down. You don't have to go back to when they was a fetus. You don't have to do anything of that. You don't have to go back to all that stuff. You don't have to work them out, twist them. You don't have to do mental gymnastics. All you have to do is tell them about Jesus. That's too simple. It's too simple. That person's messed up. I know they're messed up. They ain't never going to believe. Who are you? The Holy Spirit all of a sudden? Are you the Messiah? No. You're just a very naughty boy. Some of you know what I'm talking about there, but I ain't going to go into it. The point of this message is, God wants you to know that the greatest thing that you can ever do for him is to obey him by reaching out and doing what he told you to do. Go into all the world. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the things that I've commanded you. He says, and then I'm going to be with you forever. He says to his people before he was due to go back to his father, Jesus, he said to him, he said, go to Jerusalem, wait there for the gift of my Father. He says, for you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to be given to you. You're going to be empowered. You know, people ask me, Pastor, can you guarantee that I'm going to be blessed? Can you guarantee that if I do this, I can do... I tell you what I can guarantee. That the moment you make yourself available to go and tell someone about Jesus Christ, you will be empowered with such power from on high that it will blow your socks off, it will roll your eyelids up, it will pop your ears out, your teeth will shine, your hair will stand on end, it will go straight, it will grow, whatever it is, there will be such power. And all you got to do is just go and tell someone about Jesus. All of the laying on of hands, the anointing from anointed men and women of God, the words of knowledge and all the rest of it that you want people to give to you pales into insignificance with the power of God that will flow in you, the growth that will come in your life, the anointing that will flow from you, the experiences that you will have when you tell someone the gospel. And the thing is, one of the simplest things that we can do is tell someone about Jesus. One of the hardest messages that you will preach as a pastor or as a preacher is to Christians about going out and telling someone about Jesus. Amen? Let's see what Jesus said about John. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him." In other words, John was anointed, he was a prophet, he was powerful, he was Jesus' cousin, he had the power of God. But you and me are greater than him. You know why? Because he was pointing forward to Jesus' coming. We can point back. He's come. John was saying, look out for the Messiah. I'm pointing in direction for you. Watch out for him. I'm making a straight path for him to arrive. But you're still not saved. Because the cross hasn't happened yet. You still got to go through the rigmarole of fulfilling the law. You've still got to repent. You've still got to do this, but you're not guaranteed of any salvation. That was John. And he did it wonderfully. He did it amazingly. He did it powerfully. But we are greater than that because we can point back 2,000 years to the cross of Calvary. We can point back to the fact that Jesus Christ died and paid the price for everyone's sin. We can point back to the point where Jesus rose again from the dead, never to die again. We can say right now that he who believes in the Lord, name of the Lord shall be saved. We can declare right now, you can have your sins forgiven. We can say your life can change. We can say you don't have to stay the same. We can say if you believe in him, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, then you shall be saved. We can declare that Jesus has come. He has smashed the works of darkness. He can break your addiction. He can smash your habit. He can heal your sickness. He can change your mind. He can pick you up out of the pit. He can change you from what you are to what you're going to be. He can cover your history and unveil your destiny. He can do that because he has already come. He's here. He's alive. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He has all power and all authority, and he's given it to you, and he's given it to me to stamp upon snakes and scorpions. Jesus said, John was great, but you're greater. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Imagine you could guarantee that if you spoke to people about Jesus and said, listen, come and listen. Come and hear about this person. I'm telling you about Jesus. He's done this in my life. Come and listen, man. Get a witness. Don't just listen to me. Come and listen to other people. Imagine you could guarantee that your unsaved loved one that you've prayed for and then given up praying for, because they always mock you, they don't listen. Imagine. if God would come and just touch their life? How would that make you feel? How would that make you feel? Christmas Eve 1995, I'd been saved since the July. Got saved in my car, my friends had witnessed to me, got saved in my car. God had broken my heroin addiction. I was going to church. Cut out from all my friends, and you know, I was going to church around new people. Christmas Eve 1995, picture the scene. My old man, tremendous man, real good man, strong man, man's man, said to me, "Son, where are you going tonight?" I said, "Dad, I'm going to church." He looked at me, he said, "What's that, a new club?" I said, "No, it's a church, you know, here's the church, here's the steeple, look inside, there's the people, one of them, you know, kumbaya and all that stuff." Because he thought I'd lost it. I'd gone from being a drug addict, you know, lunatic, to all of a sudden being a Christian, right? He thought I'd lost it. I wanted him saved. But I was afraid to ask him. I was afraid to tell him. Are you with me? But something happened that night. And I just said to him, "Dad, why don't you come?" I didn't get down and start speaking to him about eschatology and soteriology and start talking to him about how the way that grace works and faith and, you know, doing this and doing that and the cross and what actually happened and the cosmos and, you know what I mean? Didn't break out any Greek words or anything like that. I just said to him, "Dad, why don't you come? You've seen what's happened in my life. Why don't you come? Just come to church. You ain't doing nothing else. Christmas Eve TV's rubbish. You're just going to go to bed and wake up in the morning. Amen. And hope that Father Christmas has left something at the end of your bed. Right? Why don't you come?" That's all I did. So we went to church. We pulled up, it was a frosty night in the East End of London. We pulled up outside church. My dad was a businessman. We pulled up outside church. We got out. I'm like, you know, what's going to happen here? He's going to go in. He's going to think it's all weird. How am I going to hold my hands up in front of him? I'm going to get all embarrassed. You know what I mean? How is he going to take this? As we pulled up, another car pulled into the car park and a man got out, the same age as my dad, dressed the same as my dad. Right? Same sort of car as my dad's. And said to us, "Excuse me." He said, "You couldn't help me out." He said, "I'm looking for a church." We're like, "Well, you just pulled up outside one." He went, "Oh, that's amazing." He said, "I'm just here visiting." He said, "I wanted to look for a church tonight." He said, "I've just come out. I just had to come to church." The old man said, "Yeah, I'm doing that as well." He said, "I've never been to church before." And my dad said, "Neither have I." All of a sudden, the two of them are off and running. We've walked into church. The two of them have sat down like, you know, Peter and Paul. Two peas in a pod. They're even doing the same thing. They've even got the same body language when the man was preaching. When the worship was going on, they were kind of looking at the words and mumbling. You know, mumbling the words, pretending that they were singing when they weren't. Just mumbling the words, looking. Then when they did the offering, they begrudgingly got out a pound coin or something and, you know, tipped it. They didn't tap it, they tipped it. Amen. Then the man was preaching and doing their thing and they were there and they were like, and I'm there, I'm praying under my breath, I'm praying. "God, touch him, God, touch him, God, do something, God, touch him, God, do something, God, touch him." And I'm getting no response whatsoever. You know when the preacher's looking out and there's someone there and they are just stone cold. What are you going to tell me? Right? That was me dad and his mate, his new mate. I'm like, "Oh, no." And then they just said, "Listen, you've heard the gospel. This is why Jesus came at Christmas, his birth and all the rest of it. This is why he came, presented the gospel. Is there anyone here that you sense, you feel in your heart that God's doing something? You want to give your life to Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? You know, just lift up your hand." Like that, looking out the corner of my eye. My dad and his mate both put their hands up. Now listen, I didn't tell him nothing. I just pointed him in the direction of the light. I was a witness. He'd seen how my life had changed. But I just pointed him to the one that changed it. Sometimes it might be that they need to hear it from someone else. Sometimes it might be that they've seen you, but they're familiar with you. They might need to see someone else. It might be that you get them into the atmosphere and there's someone else there that's going to be the same as them, from the same background, in the same position, that they're going to be able to connect with. It might be that something that that other person says resonates with them to such a degree that all of a sudden what you couldn't do, you just turn on the light and point them in the direction that all of a sudden that thing that you've been praying for, hoping for, dreaming about, that you've never ever been able to see or buck up the courage or had the knowledge or had the availability, wisdom or whatever it is to see that come about, all of a sudden someone else just says one thing and boom, there they are, saved. They both went out. They said, right, we want to take you out. We want to explain to you about salvation, give you some stuff, tell you what to do next, etc. My dad and his mate went out. I never even got the bloke's name. They both went out. I'm sitting there. I'm like rejoicing. Now he's gone. Now I'm like, oh, clap your hands. No. Right? Hallelujah. They've come back down. My dad come back down. Told me what happened. I said, you're saved, Dad. Praise the Lord. He went, yeah, weird, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, praise God. I said, how'd you feel? He said, no different. He's not a very feely person, me dad. He said, but I believe it, son. I'm like, wow, where's your mate? He said, I don't know. He's just disappeared. Literally, this fella, we never saw him again. Gone. Never saw him. He just disappeared. But my dad's been serving in his church now for 18 years. Same church. Never left it. He just serves in the church. He's done the car park. He's done this. He's done a few things. He's been to the Bible studies. He's been to this. One day, me and Vicky just happened to be at our church, and the pastor started speaking about him. Oh, he's so faithful. There's Lloyd. He's there. He's faithful. He's just a normal man. But he's been there telling other people. He's been there. Every time I used to take people from the men's home back to the house, and he would be there and he'd get around them. And then, how you doing, boy? How you doing, son? Stay where you're at. It's going to be all right. If he can do it with my son, he can do it with you. Just encouraging them. Every now and again, he'd bless the church with a bit of money, or he'd do something, or, you know, he'd help out in some way. Just a normal man that was a witness to the light, that has seen incredible things take place. And now his son, his daughter-in-law, his family members are getting saved. That's what he wants to do with you. John was great. But you're greater. And all we got to do is tell people about Jesus. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he goes on and says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news, for Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? But faith comes from hearing, and that is hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. And you see what happens when you tell them? You're giving them the opportunity. God's already been dealing in their lives, trust me. The grace of God is already at work in people's lives. The grace of God is already at work in the world. The grace of God is working. You don't see it. You don't know it. But God has his eye on people in the world. He graces them. He's gracing them. And then you tell them the good news, and then they believe. And look what happens when they believe. It said it in our original scripture. But as many as received him, To them he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In another translation it says this, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They become reborn, not with a physical birth, resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. It's God that does the saving. Jesus is the Savior. The Holy Spirit is the empowerer of that salvation. But me and you know what our responsibility is? It's not just to live right now. It's not just to be better now. It's to just be a witness now of what it is that you have seen, heard, and experienced in your own life. That's all you got to do. Shine the light. Be a torch. And show people who it is that can change their life forever. Come on, everyone, stand. Just lift up your hands. Worship team, come back quickly. Lift up your hands right now and just close your eyes. And just sort out in your head, in your mind, in your heart, what it is that God has been speaking to you. Maybe you've been afraid. Maybe you've been fearful of witnessing, of outreach. Maybe you haven't told anyone about Jesus. Maybe you've never brought people to church. Maybe you've been afraid of their reaction. Maybe you're afraid of what they'll say, of how they'll respond, maybe of ostracizing you or thinking you're a lunatic or a nutcase or whatever it is. Or maybe you've just been lazy, or maybe you've just been selfish. Or maybe you don't believe that God can do to someone else what he did to you. He is not a respecter of persons. From rich to poor, from bad to good, Jesus is the Savior. From the addict to the pastor's child, Jesus is the Savior. He is the light and there is no darkness in him. There is no other way that we can be saved other than through Jesus Christ. But how can they believe unless someone tells them? I believe that God wants to pour out his spirit upon souls and save souls, the hardest, the roughest. And sometimes the hardest soul to reach is the one that don't think they need reaching. Drug addicts, gang members, prostitutes, all day long they're going to cry out to God. As soon as they hear the good news, they're going to be on it like white on rice. They're going to jump on that thing like a pit bull on a pork chop. They're going to be on that hope like nothing else. They're going to grab a hold of it. But you know what? The people in your universities, in your workplace, your workmates, your brother, your sister, your mother that watched you do your thing, but she's always stood the test of time. She's always been there. She's been faithful. That professional colleague you have, the person that you study with, they're the ones that don't think they need salvation because they don't think they're bad enough. You know, I spoke to a woman once. She said, "Why do I need to be born again?" She said, "I was born right the first time. I've been to church since I was a child." She had a stinking attitude and she wasn't saved. She just had churchianity. How many of you know, you just shine the light. Switch on the light. Switch on the light. That's all you got to do. And let God do the rest. Switch on the light. There's the Savior. Jesus can save your soul. He can make it brand new. He can make things make sense. Come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. So we're going to do two things right now. First thing I want to do is I want you to come forward. I want to pray for the anointing of God for witnessing. That you, when you make yourself available to be a witness of the light, the Holy Spirit will empower you. I'm not into praying just for experience sake. That you get goosebumps, that you feel like warm oils over your head, that you feel electricity and all that stuff. Not into that, it's irrelevant. But if you're going to be a witness, you're going to need the power of God, and God will give it to you, and you will understand and know His power in a way that you've never known before. That's what the Bible says. So we want to pray that the power of God for every person, He'll overcome your fear. He'll overcome your tongue-tiedness. He'll overcome your shyness, your introversion, your reluctance. You just present yourself as a willing vessel available to Him. He will equip you, pour out His Spirit on you. He will enliven you. He will enlighten you. He will provide you with divine appointments, divine opportunities. You will find yourself being able to speak to someone at the right time, and you will have the right words. And you will wonder where it came from. And you will then give glory to God that He did it. He gave it to you. He opened it up because you were just available. You were just there as a vessel. I'm just being a witness. He is the light. I'm just the torch. So I want to do that. I want you to come, and I want you to just get before the Lord, and let's just take just a few minutes. You don't have to be long. You just make yourself available and let God fill you, because He wants to use you as a vessel. Not just this week, not just because we have an outreach next week, but in general, for the future, forevermore. And then when we've done that, I want you to start. After we've prayed, we're just going to pray. You just get before God and you tell Him of your availability, and you let Him come and fill you. You don't have to feel anything. You don't have to fall over. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be in the right place at the right time with the right heart and the right attitude, the right faith in the right person, and then just receive. And then we're going to pray just for a couple of minutes. We're going to be finished in 7 minutes. Service is going to be over. It's not going to be prolonged. It's not going to be stretched out. Then we're going to begin to pray for people and just lift them up before the throne of grace and just say, God, I pray, give me an opportunity to speak to this person. Grace them. Pour your grace out upon this one, God. Lord, give me a chance to speak to them, oh God. So right now, if you say, you know what, I've heard what the preacher said, it makes sense. I believe it's the word of God. Bible promises it. I want to be a witness. Lift up your hands before the Lord and tell Him, here I am, God. I want to be a witness for you. I just want to be a witness for you. That's what I want to be. I'm just a man. I'm just a woman, but I want to be a witness. I want to make a difference. I want to be a light that shines. I want to be an indicator. I want to be a beacon. I want to be someone, oh God, that points people to You. Help me to do it. I don't feel equipped in and of myself, but I am available. And I'm doing it in obedience to You, Master. Because You told me through Your word, I've heard it said, and here I am responding. If that's you right now,